listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
The decision, it was an organizational decision. It's what we thought was best to do, so we'd move forward. Well, obviously, we got some young guys. We got Schober and Emmanuel, and it's Nate Orchard's still there, and Cam Johnson's still there. So we'll work through it with those guys. Well, I mean, we gotta coach what we have and get those guys to play as well as we can get them to play. So again, like I said, I don't want to elaborate on decisions that were made by our staff. We're just going to move forward and coach what we have here and get these guys better.
There's a report out here that you guys cut K'Ron Williams. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
The decision, you moved Agba and the start of camp and now back to outside linebacker. How tough is that for a young kid to, I guess, process in one training camp?
I think he'll be fine. I think it gets down to what we're asking him to do. You know, at that position, I think Ray's done a great job of evaluating what the characteristics now is going to take to play out there. Obviously, we're going to have to do some things differently, but we feel very comfortable with the guys that we have there. Yeah, I really don't want to get into that. I just think we've released several guys today. And we're just moving forward. We had to get down to 75. That's a league rule. That's what we've done. And he was part of that group.
We've talked about this before, but cutting Paul just adds to that perception, that narrative that the Browns are looking ahead to future years instead of this season.
Well, again, let me say this about anybody that we let go. We let people go because there's a performance that we want, not so much just him. I'm saying everybody. And I think when you let players go now, you give them a chance to catch on at other places. So I think the respectful thing to do if you don't see a guy having the potential to make your team, I think the right thing to do is to move forward and move on. And I think that's what we've done. I can't worry about perceptions and what everybody thinks. You know, our team is getting ready for a game on Thursday against Chicago, and then next week the season starts. So what we're going to do is keep working. As I said before, you know, we know we have a lot of work to do, and I think that's what our focus is, and to really coach the guys that are here and try to get these guys better.
Did you say that in the case of Paul, the reason why maybe he wasn't one of those March cuts with some of the other guys is that, you know, you foresaw that perhaps he would be able to help the team and you wanted to get him into camp and see how he was going to produce?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody who came to training camp had an opportunity, you know, so it's not like we had already made a decision that we were letting these guys go. I mean, these guys had opportunities in games to prove themselves, to earn a right to be on our football team. And like I said, the guys that went today, we felt like we needed to move on from them, whoever they were.
Putting all those young guys now in position at outside linebacker, does it change anything that Ray now will want to do? Will scheme be changed a little bit?
I think Ray will tweak some things. I think we have to. I think that's pretty obvious to get those guys the best opportunity so they can have success. At the end of the day, myself, along with the rest of the coaching staff, our job is to put our players in the best position to have success. And that's what we're going to do. You know, that's the job at hand, regardless of who it is out there. We got to make sure that we do a good job of giving these guys a chance to be successful. And that's what we plan on doing.
Patrick Murray, your regular season kicker, or is that still what you
determine? No, he's our kicker. You know, he's our kicker, and we're going to move forward with him.
I saw Ricardo and Trey get back on the field. Is it too late for them to keep roster spots because they missed so much time in camp?
Never too late for anybody, as you know. We'll see. You know, hopefully, I don't know if those guys can participate on Thursday, but we'd love to have an opportunity to evaluate them further and see where it goes.
I guess give a roster spot to guys who just haven't been able to play in the preseason.
But I still think, you know, it's still the body of work. You know, the guys were here through OTAs. We love to see them. Like I said, in the game, we'll give you a little bit more clarification of what they are. But I think at the same time, we have a pretty good idea of who they are and where they are. Will it be tough for them to earn a spot? You know, that's yet to be determined. We'll figure that one out.
Q, do you think those four outside backers will be auditioning into the season as to who the starters are?
Well, yeah, I mean, it could feel like that. I mean, hopefully we'll settle on a group and let them play, you know, and I think that's what we have to do, you know, whether it's flight or flight, you know, we got to put them out there and let them play and then coach the heck out of them and all of them and give them a chance to have success.
You have in mind right now who will get the first chance to take Paul's spot, or are you kind of open it up to see who
Well, we're working on that. You know, that's what practice was for today, you know, to, again, make sure that we have the right people in the right spots. And we'll practice again tomorrow, and then Thursday we'll trot them out there and go at it.
That's one position. You definitely need your starters playing in this fourth game, I would think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, we're going to play our guys. You asked the question. We're going to play our guys. I feel comfortable that we need to play our starters, you know, on both sides of the ball. Now, how much they play, that's yet to be determined by me, but I think we're going to play them because I think we need to play. You know, I think we need to get better as a football team as we continue to move forward.
I know you want to get better everywhere, but mm-hmm. what area do you really need to see more than perhaps others?
Well, obviously, since we made several changes on defense, you know, we want to keep on looking. I feel pretty good about where we are offensively. I just think we need to fine-tune some things and get better at some things. But, I mean, obviously, there's some, you know, there's a starter that was removed from our defensive football team. So we're going to look, and I need to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to be successful over there on defense.
Do you have a starting spot up for grabs at free safety because Kindred all of a sudden split time with Poyer the other night?
The regular season's a week away, you know, so I know it might look like that. I feel very good about all three of those guys. I don't think it really matters who walks out there first. I know, quote-unquote, people want to know who the starter is, but I think, you know, as much nickel as we see, when I'm talking about three wide receivers in the National Football League, two tight ends, all that, you know, all those guys can play at any time. But I think what's really important is that we're beginning to feel comfortable with three guys that can go in there and play. And we'll determine who the starters are here pretty soon.
What are you seeing from him, or is he one of those guys that you might ultimately have to decide you need to move
on? Well, right now he's in concussion protocol, you know, so until he's out of that, can he do more? I mean, obviously, he made some plays in the last game, and there were some plays he wished he had back, you know. I think he's improved, and I think he needs to continue to get better, you know, just like our whole football team needs to continue to get better, so... I don't think there's anybody here that's just lighting it up just yet. You know, I think we're an improving team that has a lot of work to do, and our process is going to be the same. We're just going to put our head down and keep working.
Falls into that category of a 30-plus player with a very large contract, but you guys kind of need as many cornerbacks as you can get. Is he somebody that is part of your plans moving forward?
Who's it? I'm sorry, Tremont
Williams.
Oh, Tremont? Oh, yeah. No, Tremont is. Oh, yeah, Tremont will... And we're just waiting for him to get over, you know, his little ding that he has with his foot, and we'll get him back out there. I'm excited about him. He's a pro, and I like what he's done. And obviously, we need to get him more opportunities out there on the field.
How important is it for you to get a win during preseason?
I think you can check my last record in preseason. I think I was 0-4 at Oakland. You know, I like to win. I'll be first to tell you that. I didn't think I was going to be 0-4 then neither, you know, and I don't like being 0-4. But if this was going on my tombstone, I'd be concerned about it. It's not, you know. Nobody's going to ask me about the preseason games. They're going to ask me about the regular season. So, even though I like to win at everything I do understand that there's a process that we're in right now. Now, next week, you ask me that, it'd be a whole different story. I might be up here throwing things. But I think what's important is we keep evaluating our team so that we can ensure that we have the best team here as we move into the season. Thank you very much.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there. Obviously a lot of work to be done, and talked, you know, in very clear terms that what he did and the decisions that have been made along with him by himself and Sashi Brown in collaboration, Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, Ken Kovash, those were moves made together, first of all, and there were big performance reasons for them. This was not about, and I think he made that very, very clear.
He did, and that's the key. Whereas you know, with the Mingo trade, I immediately go to rationalize, well, we're taking $5 million off the books, and we open up a roster spot. But as you heard in his comments, Mingo wasn't good enough at outside linebacker. They tried to move him at inside linebacker. And then they just realized if we can get something for him in return, we not only take $5 million off the books, but we get that draft pick from the New England Patriots. And in Kruger's case, you're getting nothing in return. But actually, you are actually getting something in return. You're getting the reps, which I think in some cases are so valuable for your young players if you know this isn't going to be the year to compete for your division. So that's the return on the decision, per se, to release Kruger, is to give Cam Johnson, Emmanuel Ogbah, Joe Schobert, and Nate Orchard in a second year all those reps at outside linebacker to learn the hard lesson on, learn what it takes to play great defense in the National Football League. And I think in Andy Lee's case, the same way. It's the performance just wasn't good enough for Hugh Jackson to coincide with keeping them and taking in what our return that fits into our mindset and building this organization actually means.
Yes, and again, it's about getting the foundation and the pieces. And for a guy like Paul Kruger, if we were a playoff team and Paul Kruger was coming out and performing at the same level of the rookies or a little bit better, he stays here and he helps you win. But right now, they want to win, but they also need to improve and develop. And I think that is as important as anything. And a lot of people, judging from your tweets today, you want to see this team develop players. You want to see guys come out and be better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year so that this team has an opportunity to actually take some real steps forward. And that's certainly all we all want to see. That would be certainly a wonderful thing. All right. We're going to take a break, 216-578-0850. We'll take your calls when we come back. So we still have to hear from Robert Griffin III, the Browns quarterback, as well as Josh Gordon, which I think is certainly an interesting take from Josh Gordon. Happy to be out there, and was even asked at the end of his tenure when he's a restricted free agent, what is his number one priority? The answer may surprise you. That's coming up when we return here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Been a good day of discussion with you guys. Certainly appreciated all the interaction on Twitter and all the phone calls about what you want. And I'd say the consensus is that most people want to see a product that was better than last year's. They want to see a team that is better than the second half of the season than in the first half of the season, a team that wins some games, especially at the end of the year, as opposed to losing at the end of the year, and a team that develops some young players, players actually getting better and becoming who they were drafted to be.
And on paper, and also based on what we see right now, we will be better on offense. Crowell is 1 year better than he was last year. I think Duke Johnson's 1 year better than he was last year. I think we can expect a similar year from Gary Barnage, maybe a little downtick simply because he's not the only weapon we have offensively. You get the emergence of Terrell Pryor. You get the addition of Corey Coleman after week four. We get Josh Gordon back. So collectively, both on paper and based on what we've seen, we'll be better on offense and more explosive. And this is a team, you know, that, and I know you make the point time and time again, Nathan, is that everyone raved about the offensive line and losing Alex Mack and losing Mitchell Schwartz and what a detriment that was. We couldn't run the football. No. We didn't protect the passer all that well. So, yes, the names were of guys of stature in Cleveland because we drafted Mitchell Schwartz, because we drafted Alex Mack, and we re-signed him to that big deal. But ultimately, he wanted to go somewhere else too. And, you know, so offensively, we'll be better. And that, to me, equates to more victories than we had last year. And then even go back, and then even furthermore, I think special teams, we'll say, is a wash compared to last year, and we'll even consider defense as we're going to be young and we're going to gain some experience with Ogbah and Nassib and Schobert and Ibrahim Campbell and Jamar Taylor, what type of year he's going to have. Say we're a wash on defense and we're, I hate to say it, as bad as we were last year, but we don't get that much better on defense. Alone, we're getting better in a phase, the right phase, because this is an offensive league, this is a scoring league, this is a passing league, and we have shown offensively up to this point that we can do that. And to me, that counts for more wins than we had last year.
Agreed. And now we got to see it play itself out. We got Phil on the line. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. You know, the plan, it seems, in my opinion, it seems clear that the plan to success the NFL, and it's the owners that have set this up. You know, I think we can all agree that the owners in the NFL are the most advantageous to the owners of any of the three majors. They set up a salary cap of $125 million. You can't overspend your way out of it. They've said that only 53 players can play, even though they could make it bigger if they wanted. It seems that and it's funny because Tony Grossi said this morning, he said, name me one team that has done this. You know, I can name you all of them. I bet that the plan is that you've got to put 20% of your salary into your franchise quarterback. And the rest of those players, you've got to be able to draft the Kindreds and the Drangos and the Tim Howards to take that. Guys, I bet that if you looked at the better teams, I bet that 10% of their players account for 50% of the salary cap and the other 43 players account for the rest. That's what the owners have set up. And, you know, the Browns, if you don't get to your veterans and spend that money wisely and you don't draft wisely, you're just not going to make it. So I don't like what's happening, but this is in my opinion, this is what they have to deal with, and this is the only way for success in the NFL.
Well, just look at the team that's considered to be one of the best teams in the NFL right now, right? That's the Seattle Seahawks, okay? You tell me where they got the players that have allowed them to be successful. 2010 draft, Russell Okung, Earl Thomas, Golden Tate, Walter Thurmond, who's gone on to good things, Cam Chancellor, Anthony McCoy. 2011, James Carpenter starting tackle for them, John Moffitt starting guard, K.J. Wright the linebacker, Richard Sherman, Byron Maxwell who played well for them, and then Malcolm Smith, the seventh-round pick that year, who was the Super Bowl MVP. 2012, Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. They also got Jeremy Lane, who is now their nickelback, and that J.R. Sweezy was in that draft as well. All those guys still in the NFL. 2000, and that group right there, that group of draft picks, 2012, 2011, and 2010. In three drafts, they got guys who are definitive Seahawks guys. Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman there. They got Byron Maxwell, who played there, went on to a bigger deal. Walter Thurmond III played there, went on to a bigger deal. They also got Jeremy Lane. So they've got all their DBs right there. Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright, Malcolm Smith. Their linebackers are there. So they've completely transformed their defense in one draft. Bruce Irvin, who was their pass rusher for a while. Now they've gotten made some other things that have helped them out up front. But they also drafted Russell Wilson in these drafts. So this and offensive lineman, defensive lineman. This is a team that in three draft classes completely overhauled their team. And now they are one of the best, if not the best teams in the National Football League.
Right, and I'll point this out, and it's something that caught my eye is, you know, we get emailed and we get the paper copy of, like, the Chicago Bears breakdown in preparation for this week's game. And I think the Chicago Bears, as you look at them and the division that they play in, they're in a similar situation as the Cleveland Browns, I believe, as they're revamping that roster to get competitive in their division. And the one thing that stuck out to me was, and it says, the number of players by Bears tenure, which means, you know, they could have been other places, but it's like how many of them are new to this system and new to this scheme. They have 59 of 75 players that are going to come to Cleveland this Thursday are in their first or second year with the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
That means 14 in their third year, 3 in their fourth, 2 in their fifth, 1 in their eighth, 1 in their 10 years or more.
And they're
which
struggling.
Which means they're struggling, but it's John Fox's system. There's been a lot of turnover with the Bears organization since Lovie Smith has kind of left. They went to Trestman, which was a mistake. They've now been moved on to John Fox, and they've yet to really find their way in that division. So they're doing what they can to revamp through the draft, undrafted free agents, so on and so forth. So my point in pointing that out is we're not the only one. You know, there's probably a team in almost every division that is in a similar situation as the Cleveland Browns sit right now. But I also know that they don't have the past history since 1999 of 16 years of next to no success.
Well, would you say Green Bay and Cincinnati are talented teams?
Yes.
Cincinnati, 37 of their 53 last year were drafted by the Bengals. Green Bay, 32 of their 53 were drafted by the Bengals.
Yeah.
That didn't even account for the undrafted free agents. So 44 of the 64 players on the Packers roster, including everybody on injured, et cetera, and the practice squad, were homegrown players, either draft picks or college free agents. In 2013, when the Packers made their final roster cuts, 51 of their 53 players had never played a snap in the regular season for another team. So that is the way to do it. And, of course, somebody was like, you're not saying anything this is actually a good comment. He said, you sound like an idiot. He said, your things you're saying are embarrassing. Which regime over the past 18 years didn't have a quote-unquote plan? What team didn't quote-unquote want to win? You're making it too obvious that you're paid by the Browns. I've been saying this before, that these are the type of things that I wanted to do. In fact, when I was paid by the Browns, and it was a different regime, and I was not happy with the fact that we were signing old free agents. And I said it at the time. And remember what we said? There's no plan.
No.
That's when I was still paid by the Browns, talking about the Browns. This team definitely has a plan, Mr. Adkins. So I feel very strongly in it and about it. And we'll see what happens going forward. And somebody, Yusuf, asked me, possible there's a little too much overreaction of the game last week. Has anybody seen the Giants play this preseason? I think yes. There's overreaction in the NFL. It's the nature of the business. When you have a good game in the NFL, it's like you've solved every problem going forward and you've got it all figured out. And then when you have a bad game, you know nothing.
Right.
And your team is lost and you're going to be terrible. I think that this week, after the practices that were had, to come out and have the performance that was had was absolutely disappointing.
Yes.
And I think it was – I don't think anybody – and I can hear it a little bit in his voice. I don't think anybody was more surprised by the performance that happened in that game than Hugh Jackson himself.
Right. But what I love is, and that's my whole thing, and I try to, like, you know, turn our – I'm not saying, like, look away from what the Browns are doing, but what's happening in Cleveland is happening other places. And I think Hugh points that out, saying, when I took over in Oakland, we went 0-4 in the preseason. They ended up 8-8, and they were a much better football team. They took a big step.
I believe they were 7-1 at one point.
Correct, my whole point is like your expectation, Hugh's expectation, every coach's expectation is to go out and win. It doesn't always happen that way. It's the lessons you can learn through that 0-4 preseason and apply them when it does matter. Is my best way to put a little bit of optimism or, you know, twist things in a different direction. So that it's not the first time Hugh's gone 0-4 in a division and he feels like he has to have this win against the Chicago Bears to deem this team ready for September 11th. It doesn't matter. It's all part of the process. We play four for a reason. And I think that's why, as much as I hated playing preseason games, the keeping four games is helping players get better in the National Football League.
Yes, and the guys who are going to play and quote-unquote with this fourth preseason game, many of them aren't going to be on this team or another team.
Right.
So it's really not that important. I do think with the starters playing, you want to see them come out and look good in their time because I would be surprised if Chicago does the same thing and plays their star, especially with all the injuries that they have on the other side. When we come back, speaking of the other side, we're going to hear from Josh Gordon, what it was like to get back on the field, what it meant to him, and what he wants to do. And where he wants to play the rest of his career. That's coming up next on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. One bright spot in the game against Tampa was Josh Gordon. A beautiful double move for 44 yards against Brent Grimes and beat him on a go route, making a good acrobatic catch for the touchdown from RG3. Finished the day, two targets, two catches, 87 yards and a touchdown. Not a bad return to action. Josh Gordon spoke with the media today.
I didn't get a chance to talk to you after Friday. It looked like you haven't lost anything.
I was trying to stay warm. Yeah. You know, make up for lost time.
But is it, you know, like a cliche, like riding a bike for you, just getting back out there like nothing, like you haven't missed any time?
No, you definitely got to put in the work for sure, but I think, you know, muscle memory kicks in and your body kind of just adjusts and adapts and you know what to do at a certain point in time and instincts just take over.
What's your strategy now coming off finally playing a game and heading into last preseason game and then a little bit of downtime?
Oh, my plan is to get a bunch of work here at practice today. Yesterday we had a good day. And going to this game strong, take away from it as much as I can, positively, mentally, retain as much information as I can. And I know going into the regular season, I'll be here with the team, working out with our training staff, and make sure I stay in shape and able to be at the point to pick up where I left off from this last preseason game. So hopefully that transition is very smooth for me.
How important is that, Josh, that you can spend those 4 weeks with the team?
It's great. It's really a great opportunity. Specifically just for having access to the facility, being around the people, still being able to go to meetings and interact with your teammates, still pick up on the knowledge and the installations for the game plan, definitely helps. As opposed to being out, you kind of just, you know, you're in the wind with it. Staying in shape, that's a major key. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Coach said that he thought maybe Corey pressed a little bit just because of his first game action out there in Tampa. First of all, what did you see out of Corey Friday night, and what have you seen out of him in practice?
I think for a young guy, his first game, that was his first game because he was hurt the last two preseasons. So he was, you know, he's trying to adapt to it. Practice is a little bit different than the game, and that's even preseason. So we know the regular season, we told him, and he knows it'll be even faster than the preseason. So I think mentally, you know, his head's probably trying to put it all together and, you know, figure it out exactly the pace at which it's played. But I think he's got the talent and the ability to do it. And, you know, once he owns in on that and digs deep, and I think he'll be a dominant receiver in this league, especially for this team. We could use him, and I think he's ready to do that.
Do you remember what your first, you know, preseason game was like as a rookie, and maybe how different it felt from your days in college?
Yeah, it was definitely scary, for sure, for sure. I didn't know what it was going to be like, what the talent level really was, until I made my first play. Then you feel a certain type of confidence as though you belong here. I think I can make plays here. And he'll get to that point. And, you know, it just comes with experience. In this next game, hopefully he gets another opportunity, gets more comfortable, and he gets out there and loosens up, and he'll be able to fly, I believe.
Well, Josh, your skill set, you use your size pretty well in tandem with the speed and whatnot, but he's, 4 or 5 inches shorter than you. How do you suppose, I'm sure you have thoughts on what makes him effective, even though he's only 5'11".
No, Corey's very strong. Very strong at low center of gravity, definitely helps. But, you know, what makes up his size for him makes up in his spirit, his heart. He works very hard. He's one of the hardest workers here. We all kind of take that on at the wide receiver position to just give forth tremendous effort, blocking, whatever it may be. And I think him, definitely just his ability, that goes without saying. He has the ability to do everything a taller receiver could do. There really is no difference, I believe.
Josh, how do you compare this offense to the one of 2013, not just for the season you had, but with Chud running the show?
2013, we were running with Coach Turner.
Mm-hmm. Right. Turner.
Two totally different offenses. The number system compared to the West Coast, this is a lot more intricate, a lot more detailed here now. But I'm familiar with it because we've ran it before with a number of coaches. But I definitely think you still have the opportunity to thrive regardless of the offense. Really just the focus and the willing to learn, willing to study, and just knowing what you're supposed to do. That's really what it is.
Josh, do you have any thoughts on Colin Kaepernick's stance?
You know what? Good friend of mine, you know. Got a great respect for him. For him doing that, that's great that he did that. You know, that for him, he needed to voice his opinion and felt as though he needed to have his voice heard. And I think he did the best way he could on his stage. And I could do nothing but respect that. You know, got no opinion on that because that's his opinion. That's his right to do so as an American citizen. Go ahead.
For you to use the your form, your spotlight as an NFL player to make a statement like that, is that something you would do?
Me personally, I don't think it's it never crossed my mind at the time. It never really crossed my mind until I seen him do it. And once one person does it, it doesn't need to be done again. I feel as though the point's got across. Excuse me. It's gotten across. And, you know, to support him or to view it as negatively, that's up to individual people, you know. But he's, like I said, he's a friend of mine. I'm going to support him through thick or thin. He's a great guy. You know, a lot of people reading it a different way. But I'm sure Cap didn't mean anything negatively about it at all. You know, he's a great guy.
Hey, Josh, you know Robert probably better than most people and been around him longer than everybody else. Have you seen him change personality-wise since the days of Baylor? How have maybe you seen him grow up since then?
Oh, yeah, I think we've all grown up since Baylor, for sure. But it is strange, though. His body language on the field, it's eerily similar to the exact last time I've seen him play when we were together. The way he throws the ball, the way he scrambles and moves, looks like the same guy, the same 18-year-old guy that I've known. But he's definitely matured mentally, and he was confident then, but he's even more confident, if that's even possible. but he knows his ability. He knows his playbook. And when you got a guy like that, I think, you know, it's dangerous for a defense and then an asset to us, because with a guy like that, you could do nothing but get behind him and help fight for him.
Well, what's it say about him to have that confidence when he went through what he did in Washington, where he didn't even play last year and kind of lost that starting job?
Oh, man, I'm not really sure. What happened in Washington was up to those coaches. He was battling through injuries, trying to get back and just trying to get an opportunity to play. And he's got that opportunity here now. I'm not really for sure what happened in D.C., but I know he's grateful to be here in Cleveland.
From what you've seen of Robert, what might convince you that he can do the job and help turn this team into a winner?
Well, I've always had a lot of positive things to say about Robert and belief in him since, you know, he's the reason why I went to Baylor in the first place. So, you know, like I said, I'd follow that guy in any fight. But being here now, just seeing him now, like I said, he knows what he's supposed to do. He's accountable for everything, you know. He knows everybody's position, where they're supposed to be at, every route, every protection call. My guy that is that knowledgeable, you know, it's kind of hard to go against it.
Did you find that in the other day's game that you were right back thinking with him the way you had when you were teammates? It's just a matter of you only need some tweaking. You don't need a long time together to get on the very same page with him.
Yeah, me and Griff talk about it a lot. You know, he did say he says he remembers my timing from college, and he thinks that it wouldn't take too long. And I don't believe it would. It really wouldn't. As much as we practice out here, and as much as we talk together and get different looks in the preseason and during practice against our defense, he throws it up there a few times. I'll gauge it, and I'll go try to find it.
Did that? I apologize if you were asked this, but that touchdown kind of looked like the 2013 guy we watched. Did it bring back memories for you? Kind of rejuvenate you that way?
It definitely did. I think send a spark to me, you know, and help me remember some things, have that sense of nostalgia of, you know, this is where I belong, this is where I need to be. This stage, you know, was meant for me to play on. You know, that's what I meant to do. And then just doing it consistently and just being here for this team, that's really where it starts at, and that's what I want to do.
Like some of the moves that you show, is that teachable, or can you teach to other receivers, or do you say that's God-given talent or what?
No, it's really just, it's all things I've learned. It's very teachable, very learnable. And we worked out here with Coach Al Saunders. He's teaching us ways to come back to the ball and release on DBs downfield and how to get open. I think that's just the art of playing receiver, is how to get to the ball and how to get open at all times.
How do you think you'll weather this storm of, you know, you kind of got your mojo down, and then you're going to have to step out of practice and kind of be away from the actual games for 4 weeks? How are you sort of prepared to get through that?
I'm prepared here with the team, with Coach Jackson, with Sashi Brown, with Mr. Haslam, our training staff. They'll be with me every day, and every morning I'll be coming here working out, still in meetings with the guys. Only thing I wouldn't be able to do is go out there and practice with them. I'll be able to take the mental reps indoors, watch the film when they come back inside, learn everything that they're learning. Maybe not necessarily at the same way, but I have the experience of learning that way now, you know, so I know how to adapt that way, and I think it shouldn't hold me up too much.
Did it even feel last good one? To shush the crowd a little bit?
Oh, man. You know, hey, when you're going through the certain amount of things I've gone through and people have their opinions, that's just kind of what comes with it, and I think that that play and plays to come will slowly reflect that. That I could hopefully project a different image of myself.
Did they give you grief? I mean, were the fans on you? I mean,
not too much. You know, Tampa Bay was great. Tampa Bay was great. It was more than Tampa Bay. It was bigger than Tampa Bay to me.
Okay. One more. Do you want to be back here? Because this is your contract year. Do you want to be back here after this is up?
Given the opportunity, I would definitely love to come back to Cleveland. Definitely, for sure.
That's Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon, and I'm certainly hoping that he gets through the season, does what he needs to do, and Cleveland feels the same way. I think this is the step one in a long program to see where Josh Gordon is at, but certainly when you saw him back on the field, I mean, you've played in the NFL, okay? Josh Gordon hasn't played in the NFL since week 15 or 16 of 2014.
Right.
He wasn't with the team. He wasn't practicing.
And he missed the first eight games of that season.
Right. And then he comes back in his first preseason game against Brent Grimes, not against the rookie, not against Brent Grimes. And in the two passes he's thrown, he puts a beautiful double move on him and then beats him on a go and makes a great catch. How hard is that to do?
It's hard to do. And I think how Josh Gordon has done it is that there's a calm about him. You know, and you can hear it in his demeanor and his approach to the media. And I think there's a calm about him on the football field as well, which kind of goes back to what we thought, you know, him coming back into the locker room at the end of 2014 would be to really stabilize him and his personality. And I think he has the right support system now to maintain his calm. He's not pressing to have to make the plays. He's not pressing to have to be the guy in 2013 that led the league in receiving. He's not. It's, I understand my role, and as I continue to point out, it's, I'm fitting the Cleveland Browns. I'm walking their way. I'm playing their way. I'm receptive to coaching. And I can't necessarily, because he was such a great talent and he had so much success so early, your head can get big. What is a coach going to tell me? You know, when you've produced the way he did and you brought on, you know, a Pro Bowl that early in his career and so on and so forth. And I think there's just a different calm about Josh Gordon right now. And I really do feel that the culture that has been created here by Hugh Jackson and amongst this younger team, Josh Gordon is fitting right in the middle where he's not quite a veteran who's been here and been doing it. And he's not yet a rookie. He's just coming to work and finding his way each and every day.
Yeah. And you know, he is a guy that you see, and it's tantalizing talent. And to be able to walk in and perform at that level is amazing. Our good friend Rob McBurnett just tweeted out, there are only four NFL players with multiple 40-yard catches this preseason. Two of them are Browns, Terrell Pryor and Josh Gordon, who did it in one game.
Right.
In one half of one game. Exciting. Could be fun on offense. I do think from listening to Josh Gordon, I've said it before, words are words, talk is talk, but he sounds different. It sounds like the light bulb's gone on from Jeremy and Akron, our good friend, just said it sounds like it might have clicked for him. I think it has. I think he realizes what he has, and we'll find out if he can be strong enough and the support system around him is strong enough for him to be able to do what he has to continue playing the game that he loves, and he is clearly very, very good. All right, he's clearly very good at it. When we come back, final thoughts here, wrapping it up on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Mateo, I think we did a good job getting into the pulse of the people. I think there are certainly people that think this stinks and they're not happy with it. And I think there are other people who are reserving judgment and need to see development. Listen, at the end of the year, if the guys they drafted don't develop at all, I'm going to be unhappy. I'm going to be nervous because then where are we? So it is imperative that right now, it's all theory. We haven't played a regular season game.
No.
Yeah. So things are not great, nor are they awful yet. We don't know anything, but we're going to see over the next 4 months, and when the clock, the calendar, you know, turns to 2017, the final game of the year on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2017, you'll have an idea if we're on the right path. Now, did we leap down that path? Did we take a little bit of a stroll down that path? Have we not moved at all down that path? You'll know where we are in relation then. For now, a lot of speculation, which certainly is fun. But again, to think that, you know, Terry Pluto and said, I think, had very good words. I urge you to read him at clevelandbrowns.com, at cleveland.com, I'm sorry, and the Plain Dealer. But interesting stuff and a video about everything, and said, you know, Paul Kruger was on this team that went 3-13. Andy Lee was. A lot of these guys were. There's something that needs to be, there's more that needs to be done here, and they are going to try to do it the way they want in their image. And yes, it's not original. Mike Holmgren came here with a plan. Mangini came in here with a plan. Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, I think, had a plan. But were they able to adhere to it? Did they stick to it? Did they stick to their guns? I think history would show no, probably not. But this is an opportunity now for people to do it, and we'll see what happens. And at least they're doing things that people around the National Football League are noticing and are like, oh, that's good.
Right, and at this point right now, after an offseason training camp that has wrapped in three preseason games, even after this first wave of cuts, there are things that you can definitely take right now that allow you to pass judgment on what this team is possible of doing. I referenced it earlier that the offense is going to be better and more explosive. So we're going to score more points. Okay, we're going to be more explosive. Are we going to be able to run the football at will? I don't know yet, but Crows had some success.
Yeah.
You know, averaging 5 yards a carry in the, albeit the preseason. So that's what we're basing judgment off of. You have to base the judgment on that. We're going to have some young talent. Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib, Emmanuel Ogba, Joe Schobert, Hollywood Higgins. Those are four or five guys out of this draft that have shown flashes of playmaking ability in the National Football League. And I know some of the pessimism now comes from, you know, the way we played against Tampa Bay collectively, the way the defense has played the entire preseason. That's the cause for concern. So at this point right now, without having played a regular season football game, if we're passing judgment, it's kind of up and down. You know, it's we're getting rid of veterans, as you said, that didn't help us win a lot of football games last year, and we've got budding talent that may help us win football games this year. The offense has been better. The defense is still where it is, stuck in the mud. So there's a lot of improvement yet to come. And like you said, we've got 12, 13 days now before we actually play a football game.
We do, and we've got another one coming up in 2 days. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on CBD. We'll hear from the Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III, as well as others. For now, stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Fontana, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.